I am very honored and pleased to be amongst all of you this evening. My special gratitude to As Kindred Spirits for their beautiful performance, knowledge, and devotion. I was asked to speak on the subject of spirituality and vegetarianism. Is that so? Spirituality is not affiliation with a particular religious organization. Spirituality is cleansing the heart, purifying the mind, bringing it to its original natural state. Today, even in the name of spirituality, there is sectarianism, hatred, envy, violence, greed. These qualities have absolutely nothing to do with real spirituality. The ecology of the heart is polluted by what Gurbani so nicely explained as the false ego. We want to be the controller, we want to be the enjoyer, we want to be the proprietor. And because of these inclinations, there's inevitably so much conflict with other living beings. But as the heart becomes pure, the natural godly qualities within us awaken. Humility, trust, love, and compassion. These qualities bring inner fulfillment and satisfaction.
Essentially, everyone is looking for. The universal principle of all spirituality is very much based on compassion. Compassion means the humbleness of heart to concern oneself with the well-being of others. Not to think that I am greater, but rather to think that I am the servant of all others. To exploit is a life of endless anxieties. The disposition to serve brings about a life of freedom, peace, fulfillment, and true love. A spiritual person whose heart is really cleansed feels him or herself the servant of all living beings. Not just the people of their nation, the people of their sex, the people of their race, the people of their religion, not even limited to the people of their own species. Because wherever there is life, there is the desire to be happy, to honor that, to respect that, and to serve that principle is compassion. Vegetarianism is followed by people in the world for various reasons. Some follow for health, because it has been very much proven, and it is more and more, that a vegetarian diet is simply better for health. It protects us from cancer, heart disease, and so many other terrible, painful situations. Also, people follow vegetarianism because they're concerned with the ecology. It's a terrible, imminent disaster that's about to come upon us ecologically. So much pollution and so much hunger. There are hundreds of millions of people in the world who are seriously hungry, even starving. And we know For every 16 pounds of grains we feed a cow, we get 1 pound of meat. Which could feed people better? You can grow thousands and thousands and thousands. I think it's about 40,000 potatoes in an acre of land if you're a good farmer. And you could grow enough grains to get about 25 pounds of meat. Or no, 200 pounds of meat. 200 pounds of meat. So ecologically, meat eating doesn't make sense. Aesthetically, people become vegetarians because to see a field being harvested or fruits taken from the trees is a very beautiful, peaceful experience. But if you've ever been to a slaughterhouse, it's ghastly. It's horrible. Blood, the stench, and the crying of torture and death. It is a reality. From the point of view of spirituality, people become vegetarians because they want to awaken this sense of compassion, this sense of humility and service to the well-being of others. Once I heard on a radio that there was anti-cruelty for animals, and they were giving questions and answers. And one person, he said that you have been talking about how you filed a case and put a person in the courtrooms where they had to pay a large fine because they tied their dog too close to a stake in the ground so he couldn't breathe properly. But I want to know what you had for lunch today. The person said, hamburger. He says, cannot you see the connection? Just as you have feelings for a dog because you have dogs living at your home, what about the cow? What about the goat? What about the sheep, the lamb, the chicken? They love their life as much as the dog loves their life. Would you like to know how I became a vegetarian? You don't mind me telling a personal story? I will tell. Please be patient. It was my first day in India. As Radha Ballabha explained, I hitchhiked from London to the Himalayas in 1970. My first day in India, I was in Old Delhi. I didn't have any money. I was walking down the street, very crowded marketplace, a place called Chandni Chowk. And there, just a strange man approached me and welcomed me to India. He said, where are you coming from? Why have you come? What is your name? So after we had an exchange, he said, you are a guest in my country. I want to give you dinner tonight. So he took me to a little restaurant, very special restaurant. There was no walls. It was just an open place with tables on a crowded road. And where our table was, right in the front of the restaurant, there was a beautiful white mother cow with her calf laying right on the road. In India, it's like that. As I was sitting there, I was, for the first time in my life, so close to a cow. I've been close to dogs and cats and turtles and goldfish. I come from the Midwest, but never was I so close to a cow. This beautiful white cow, her eyes were like lotus petals. And her little calf was exchanging such intimate love with her mother. The calf was jumping around and the mother was taming her. Then the mother laid down and the little calf was drinking her milk and the mother was licking the body of her calf. And you could see the eyes of the mother cow. She loved her calf just like my mother loved me. Maybe not with the same sophistication or intellectualization, but as far as the heart, the mother cow, she was so worried, so concerned with her calf. And the calf was such a beautiful, life-loving little animal who was just totally dependent on the nourishing and the protection of the mother. I was enthralled. I was enchanted. It was a beautiful sight, seeing this motherly love. Then the food came. And I never ate Indian food in my whole life. In fact, before I came to India, I never met an Indian in my life. So I was eating the food, and my host, he said, "Would you like to know what everything is?" I said, "Please." He said, "This is roti, flat bread. This is dal, bean soup. This is sabji, vegetables. This is rice, chawal." And I said, "Well, what is this on the rice?" He said, "This is meat." When he said meat, I was looking at this loving mother cow exchanging such deep affection with her beautiful little calf. It was the first time in my life that I actually made the connection between the two. I thought in my heart, for me to eat this meat means somebody's going to kill this cow or kill this calf just so that I can eat this. There's so many other preparations. I don't need this meat. It was such a devastating effect on my heart. All these years of my life in a culture that's totally insensitive to this connection between life, between love, between feelings, and what they eat. I began to weep tears. I was speechless. I just kept looking at this cow and calf. How many of you have died because I like your taste? And I never even understood the reality of what meat eating is actually about. When we see it in the stores, it comes in very, very aesthetic packaging. When we get it at the restaurants, it's very decorated. Practically no one makes that connection of what went into it. The death, the horror. My host looked at me, and he was terribly confused. I was just looking at this cow and crying. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I have to go." And I got up and walked out. And as I was walking out, the mother cow just gazed into my eyes and began to lick my body with great affection. I never touched meat again the rest of my life because I was on a spiritual search. I was looking for higher values, higher principles to live by. And the basic fundamental principle of real spirituality is compassion. In the name of God, we have seen what took place on September 11th, the World Trade Center. It was horrible, horrible. But nobody thinks that in the United States of America, 660,000 innocent animals are killed in slaughterhouses every hour. Is there no karma to this? Karma is a principle in every religion. In the Bible, Jesus said, "As ye sow, so shall ye reap." According to the law of thermodynamics, for every action there is an equal corresponding reaction. And according to Bhagavad Gita, there is a very deep, elaborate explanation of how the laws of nature work. Whatever you do, whatever you say, there will be a corresponding reaction coming upon you. The great artist Leonardo da Vinci, so many beautiful, beautiful religious works he created. People go to the museums and see his statues and see his paintings. But what is his message? He's glorifying God according to his belief, but he also said that when man, the day man becomes actually civilized, man will realize that killing an animal is like killing a man. It is murder. If we say in America, love me, love my dog, if you kick a person's dog, it's worse than kicking the person. Yes? But what about the cows and the sheep and the goats and the lambs? Just because they're not pets in your house, does that mean they deserve to die because we like how they taste? Cannibals like how you taste. Does that justify their killing you? Wherever there's consciousness, there's the presence of the soul, of a life force, of a person. And to honor and respect all living beings, that is actual spirituality. When our religion creates a sectarian ego, then we're actually going in the wrong direction. Actual spirituality is meant to awaken in our heart natural qualities of love. And what is the nature of love? The nature of love is an ecstatic experience of love toward God, who is the source of all living beings. But if you love God, you must love all the children of God. You can't love the mother and the father without the children, because to love means to please. Real love must extend to all living beings. And to those who are helpless, to those silent creatures, it naturally extends as compassion. We have seen great personalities throughout history who lived in a spirit of compassion. Can I tell you a story of one? There are so many. This is a story from Srimad Bhagavatam, an ancient holy scripture in Sanskrit. There was a king of the name Rantidev. This Rantidev, he and his family went into the wilderness and fasted for about 40 days and 40 nights. That seems to be a common number. That's quite universal. Practically no food or water. At the end of his fast, and he was fasting, they were fasting not only to purify their own hearts, but they were fasting to actually send that energy for the welfare of all the world. So they were actually on the verge of death. And somebody brought to this distant place a nice quantity of food and water. And they were just about to eat. And one priest came and said, "Sir, I'm very hungry. Please feed me." So he fed the priest to his full satisfaction. They were about to eat. And then just a common working man came to the door of their little hut and said, "Sir, I'm hungry. Do you have any food?" So what he did is he fed his whole family nicely, and then he fed that common person. Then he was about to eat whatever little was left. And another man came who had a pack of dogs with him. And he said, "Sir, I'm hungry. Please give me some food." So he fed the man. And then he said, "My dogs are also hungry. Give them food." The dogs were very hungry. He gave them all the food that was left. He was on the verge of starvation. At that point, the only thing that would sustain his life was the water that was there. He was about to drink the water when another person arrived. A person that was just living in the forest because he was exiled from society for his low character. And that person said, "Sir, I'm very thirsty. Give me some water." Now, Ranti Dev understood, if I give him my water, I give up my life. It means death. He folded his palms in such a grateful and blissful state and offered a prayer. He said, "Oh, my Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, I do not pray for wealth of this world because it's all temporary and it could bring no inner satisfaction. I do not pray for miraculous powers or mystic cities, which yogis are very, very eager to achieve. I do not pray even for salvation from all suffering. I only pray for one thing, my Lord, that in whatever birth I take in this world, that I am given the supreme benediction of being allowed to give up my life to help others. In giving this outcast water, I will never again suffer from hunger, thirst, anxiety, moroseness, or even death." And then with a grateful heart, he gave the water to that unknown stranger. At that moment, all these personalities who had appeared before him manifested the forms of celestial beings. And they brought him nice food. And they said, "We wanted to test you, and we wanted to show the world what is the character of a genuine spiritual person." How many of you think that this is quite an extreme story? We may not be able to imitate, but the spirit of the principle is what is all important. Just yesterday was Easter. Lord Jesus Christ, he was willing to accept so much torture, pain, and give up his life out of compassion for others. And a true Christian is one who follows that principle, cannot imitate, but follows that spirit of compassion. A true Buddhist, a true Muslim, Jew, Zoroastrian, Jain, Hindu, is a person who actually works very, very attentively to cleanse the heart, to awaken love for God and for all living beings. Therefore, vegetarianism is a very, very integral aspect of spirituality, because it is an expression of respect for the feelings of other living beings. Para dukkha dukkhi is a principle described in Vedas, where other people's sufferings we inherit as our own suffering by our own free will. That is love. We're all looking for happiness. Bhagavad Gita explains that real happiness is within. Bible explains the kingdom of God is within. To be godlike, humility, respect, and compassion for other living beings is so very much required. George Bernard Shaw, he explained that you are talking about ending war and creating peace. But as long as there's animals being slaughtered, so much death and so much bloodshed, then the society that inflicts that bloodshed on the animals is naturally bound by the laws of nature to see their own children's bloodshed on the battlefields. There's a connection. Insensitivity toward life. Insensitivity toward the life-loving feelings of others. Yes, when I saw that cow, I realized that that cow loved her little calf just like my mother loved me. And she was as concerned with the welfare of the calf as my mother was caring for me. Maybe less intellectual, but the heart was very, very similar. To respect that is real humanity. How many of you eat Kellogg's cereal? The founder of Kellogg's was a great advocate for vegetarianism. That's why he made his cereals, to give an alternative for people for eating meat. He had a famous saying, "If it runs away, don't eat it." When you're fishing and you're, oh, it's fighting, you're having fun pulling it in, but extend your compassion to the feelings of that innocent little fish. For you, it's play, pulling them in. But that fish is in utter agony, fighting for its life. If it didn't care about life or death, it wouldn't be fighting with every ounce of its strength. Yes? It loves its life, as we love our life. Humanity really extends to protecting the innocent, protecting the silent creatures who are our brothers and sisters. If there's anything that is lacking in this world, it's not so much. Lack of money is not such a big problem, whatever all the economists say. Lack of technology is not such a big problem. Lack of scientific research is not such a big problem. All of these things are very useful. But if they're in cruel hands, they could create havoc within the world. The greatest shortage on the planet today is compassion. There's really no lack of anything except compassion. Because if human beings develop this spirit of compassion, there's enough that nature provides where everyone could be happy as brothers and sisters in a one-world family. And that includes the animals, the fish, and the birds. If we cannot be kind to them, we cannot really be kind to each other. So yes, vegetarianism is not just a diet, it is an outlook of toward life itself. It is a commitment to the well-being of others. We may ask that when we eat vegetables, we're also killing people, because they're also alive. Yes, some violence is there. When you walk, sometimes you accidentally. When you breathe, sometimes you accidentally. But compassion is to minimize the quantity of violence that we inflict upon others. The lower chain of vegetables, lower chain of consciousness, it's a beautiful scene to see vegetables being harvested, grains being harvested, fruit being harvested. But the animals, the fish, and the birds, factually, they love their life as much as we do. They'll fight for their life as much as we will. And their nervous system is developed enough to really feel pain the same way that we do. To respect that, to sympathize for that, to be compassionate for that, is elevation of consciousness. It is so very, very much needed within the world today. And also, vegetarianism is a diet that, when understood properly, is full of incredible variety. And it really tastes wonderful, as you will all see as soon as I finish my long talk. As far as nutrition, as far as taste, as far as variety, vegetarian diet, if it's understood scientifically and properly under the guidance of Radha Vallabha, it's fully satisfying in every sense. So why? Why do we have to participate in causing pain and bloodshed of others? Please forgive me if I'm speaking bluntly, but it's a blunt subject. What can I do? I remember that day in December of 1970 in that little restaurant in Old Delhi. My whole perception of the reality of my life made a great change, because I actually could understand that we have relationship, we have connection with God, with the life that God has created in all living beings in this world. We shouldn't be insensitive. We should be educated. There's a story. I once knew a lady, and she was explaining like this to me. She was a professor, and she brought her little girl, she was just about a five-year-old girl, to a lake, and she spent the whole day playing with ducks. She fell in love with these ducks. Now, it just so happened, that night when they went home, dinner was there, and the little girl asked the mother, "What are we eating tonight?" And the mother said, "Duck." And the little girl started crying, said, "I love ducks. Why do you make me eat them?" Said, "Please tell me, today you had me playing with ducks. They're my friends." Actually, children like animals more than they like people. Yes? Cartoons, there's talking ducks and talking dogs and talking mice. Children naturally love animals. They love their little dog. They love their little cat. This little girl loved these little ducks. She challenged her mother. If you tell me to love the ducks at the lake, then why do we kill them and eat them? Do you know something? This professor, who had a PhD, could not answer her five-year-old daughter's question. She had no answer. There was nothing that she could think of that made sense. Yes, my daughter loves the ducks. I love the ducks. And then we're eating the dead ducks that were murdered. She became a vegetarian that day as an act of compassion. So yes, it is very important that we reflect on this principle of compassion in our hearts. Because if we're not part of the solution, we are a part of the problem. And every human being has to sincerely take inventory of their own consciousness and decide what really is of value in my life, and take responsibility to live by the values that they hold sacred. Please enjoy the nice feast tonight. I thank you very much.